Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. The new school year is just weeks away, and all across North Carolina, districts are encountering a big new problem that would have once been unimaginable: large numbers of teacher vacancies. Thanks to things like low pay, tough working conditions, competition from other employers, and the lingering impacts of the pandemic, thousands of North Carolinians who would have been thrilled to find work in our public schools are now saying no. Earlier this week, I got a chance to learn more about this problem and some of the things our state ought to be doing to address it in a chat I had with one of the state legislature's most outspoken advocates for public education, Mecklenburg County State Representative Rachel Hunt. Well, Representative Rachel Hunt, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
You're obviously one of the most knowledgeable and outspoken leaders in the General Assembly on the subject of public education. That issue is front and center these days. We're just a few weeks till the start of school, and we've got teacher vacancies everywhere. I know in your home county, Mecklenburg, big numbers of teacher vacancies. We've seen them in other places. Why is teacher retention becoming such a big problem?
Well, I think there are a variety of issues that are contributing to it. First off is the COVID situation. You know, that changed the entire landscape of education in North Carolina. Teachers had to relearn how to teach in a very short amount of time. Some were really not able to do that, especially people that might be older, near retirement age. So they may have gone on to say, I'm going to go ahead and retire. But we also had a lot of learning loss. We were given some research from DPI last week that we have people that are 15 months behind, especially in math one in high school. And that's going to take a lot of extra work that is not being compensated by teachers to help these kids catch up. Now, there are certain programs that are being done as well by DPI and some other groups that will help, especially during the summer months. But teachers are being asked to be superheroes. And they are not being treated like that. There are a lot of things we could do about that. We could treat them the way we used to treat them in the 90s. What did that involve? Teacher assistants in most every classroom, especially K-3, teaching fellows program, master's pay, health benefits and retirement. We know how to have a robust teaching group, and we are not doing the things that we know work.
We had an interview with NC Policy Watch with an educator recently who talked about when he became a teacher in the mid-2000s, he was like so thrilled to get the call. He had a master's degree. He had all this training, and yet he still had to wait a few weeks. He taught in a university, and now the positions are going begging. We see in Union County, they're offering a $4,000 incentive bonus to try and fill positions, but many districts, of course, don't have that capacity. It's a daunting problem across the state, just filling the jobs for this fall school year.
Absolutely. There are some bonuses up to $7,000 in the state right now. They're still not getting folks in. Now, how can we fix that? One way, something they're doing in Georgia. In Georgia, they are bringing back retirees. And we have been told in North Carolina there's a problem because their pension has to be paid partly by them and partly by the state or their employer. In Georgia, they've decided, no, the employer will pay 100% of the pension, and that eliminates any tax issues. We need to do that in North Carolina. Why aren't we doing that?
We also hear that even states like Alabama and Mississippi are now outpacing us when it just comes to something as simple as teacher pay. We know that it's always a debate as to where we rank. We know North Carolina is low compared to national average, but when you compare us to what people can actually make in the private sector in North Carolina, that's where the real competition is. It isn't that teachers are necessarily going to move to Virginia or South Carolina. They're looking at jobs in the private sector. When you compare there, North Carolina really down near the bottom, which begs the question, why aren't we paying teachers more?
I completely agree. And you combine that with the way they're being treated by us, the folks in the legislature, number one. Parents are often angry nowadays because their kids are not doing as well as they think they should be. People on school boards are being treated very badly. We have got to do something to make teachers believe and feel like they are professionals, like they really are.
A big part of that solution is funding. I mean, we now know we have the Leandro court case that's going to be argued before the state Supreme Court later this month for the what seems like umpteenth time. This case has been around since you were probably in nursery school. And it seems like we're coming to a flashpoint, a point at which we're going to have to fish or cut bait. Either the Supreme Court is going to say,
fund public education in North Carolina in order to provide every child with a sound basic education as the Constitution allegedly requires, or maybe they're just going to throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do to require it. It's just up to the General Assembly. Either way, it seems like things like class size, just making the profession appealing to teachers is going to take bigger investments than we've been making over the last decade.
Absolutely. And listen, we have the money in North Carolina. That's the real tragedy here. If we were, you know, underwater with our state finances, that would be a different thing. But we could pay for the amount to enact the Leandro funding proposals that several of us wrote in the Leandro bills that we submitted to the General Assembly right now and not be in any kind of dire financial situation. We could fix public education's problems in the state right now if we had the will to do that. So it is the political will that folks in the legislature do not have. And that is tragic. And it is a miscarriage of what we are sent there to do. We take an oath to uphold the state constitution when we are sworn in, and we are not doing that.
We're talking with State Representative Rachel Hunt, who's an education leader in our General Assembly. She's from Mecklenburg County. Representative Hunt, so when we try to get our arms around why are the Republican leaders not investing in public education, I suppose one of the issues that raises its ugly head is the question of privatization. Do they really believe in public education? We see that they have been transferring really significant chunks of cash to this voucher program we have in the state, which funds schools that really have no accountability whatsoever in terms of their curriculum and the outcomes that they provide for our students. I know you've spoken out on that issue in the past. I take it you still have concerns that the voucher program is a flawed program.
I have so many concerns about that. I have tried to introduce ways we can measure student learning in these schools. That has been struck down. I have spoken on the floor about why we are increasing the amount $56 million a year when all of it was not being used in the past years because we didn't have enough interest in the program. We could just take part of that money and redirect it towards regular public schools. And I think it's tragic, and I think it does point to a lack of interest at the very least, and possibly even a desire to privatize the system. And that is not what we are in the legislature to do. You know, 60% of funding for public schools comes from the state in this state. And we are obligated as legislators to do our best to fund those schools. And we're not doing it. And I think people need to take a hard look at what their individual legislators are doing. And one tiny bright light at the end of this teacher shortage that I can see is if parents rise up and ask their legislators in every part of the state, why doesn't my child have a qualified teacher? Then something might be done.
You know, there was a time at which we had a Republican leader in the state house a few years ago who said it was his goal to make every school a voucher school in North Carolina. And I wonder if you've ever sense there is a genuine ideological opposition to the very concept of a traditional public schools in our society. I wonder if that might be part of the problem.
Well, it might be. I hate to even think that about my colleagues, but you know, actions speak louder than words. And the continued effort since 2010 to defund our public schools and our children that go to public schools points to some kind of possibly bad idea about public schools.
So y'all are kind of theoretically the session end, but you're coming back to Raleigh and then you're leaving and you're coming back to Raleigh maybe for brief little mini sessions. Any idea of whether any of these subjects will be taken up between now and the end of the year? Or is it just sort of, they don't share that information with the Democratic Party?
That's right. We don't actually even know whether we're supposed to be there for votes until the day before. So our lives are in someone else's hands as far as our schedules go.
We're coming to the end of our time with State Representative Rachel Hunt, but I want to shift the topic here for a second to another issue that's been front and center in the political world and the policy world these days, and that's, of course, reproductive freedom. We know that we've had this earth-shaking Supreme Court ruling in the Dobbs case reversing the 50-year-old Roe versus Wade rule that guaranteed all women access to safe abortion services if necessary. We now know that North Carolina is sort of both a sanctuary, safe haven state for women coming from other parts of the Southeast where the procedure has now been banned, but it's also a place where it sort of hangs by a thread. What are your hopes? What are your fears? What are your predictions?
Well, hanging by a thread is exactly the right term. We are one of the states where it is now still legal to have an abortion here. But if we lose two senators from the Democratic Party or three in the House from the Democratic Party, the governor will not have a veto. And we have seen horrible bills that will ban abortion, make no mistake, and they will be enacted as soon as the election is over if we do not elect, you know, the required three in the House and two in the Senate. These bills have been filed. Remember, they've even filed a bill to make it a capital crime to get an abortion in North Carolina. So we've got people absolutely as radical on this issue as any other state like Texas or Florida. So when you vote, believe me, you're not just voting on that issue. This issue goes well beyond abortion. It is also about being able to have fertility treatments, being able to have contraceptive treatments. And now even medicines are being banned in states that don't allow abortion. Medicines for things like arthritis, because their side effects could lead to an abortion. We cannot have that here, folks. We are not that kind of state.
I think some people have been taking some solace, some encouragement from the recent vote in Kansas, in a deeply conservative rural state in which voters turned out really in landslide numbers to say, we don't want a new provision in our Constitution banning abortion. It seems that there still exists a pro-choice, pro-reproductive freedom majority pretty much across the country. I take it you think we had a vote in North Carolina and we might get a similar result.
I certainly hope so. People do not like their rights being taken away. And it affects everyone, not just women, not just girls, not just people who can have children. This affects families, and families want to have rights. This is America. We don't want them taken away.
State Representative Rachel Hunt has served two terms in the House representing Mecklenburg County. She's actually a candidate for a seat in the state Senate this fall. You can learn more about her work at the ncledge.gov website. Representative Hunt, thank you for your service to our state, and it's been a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you so much, Rob. I really enjoyed it.
Coming up next, we'll discuss the state of some of the key races in the upcoming fall elections with one of the nation's top pollsters. Don't go away.